Thank you so much, Brother McKinney. That'll preach, won't it? Justified. And I trust that that is your testimony here tonight as well. If you are saved, that is a Bible word. You have been justified, just as if I have never sinned. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. I know that we've had, of course, the testimonies by Marsh and Rita. That was good. And we've got Lord's Supper as well. I'm going to be brief here with my message here tonight, but I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want us to focus our thoughts here tonight on just a couple of verses of Scripture. If you have your Bibles open, please stand and listen carefully as I read our text here tonight, beginning with verse number 35. Notice what the Scripture says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence," verse 35 says, "which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now, just notice next two words, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith. Now faith. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'd help us here tonight to be encouraged to keep on going. Lord, I pray for these who are here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would encourage these. They would be considered the faithful of First Baptist Church. But Lord, as we even heard Marcia remind us, it's really not our faithfulness, but it's your faithfulness that keeps us going. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us here tonight as we even look at this subject. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a blessing to many. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's a story told about the famous French leader Napoleon some 200 years ago as his armies crossed the Alps and as they came upon a certain battle, a battle which seemed like it was being lost. And as Napoleon's soldiers were suffering great, great defeat and wounded soldiers and dying and bleeding, he found that his heart was moved with such compassion that he turned to his bugler and he said, "Son, sound the retreat." And the boy froze. He didn't do anything. Napoleon thought, well, maybe he didn't hear my instruction. He said a little bit louder. He said, "Son, I said, sound the retreat." The little boy still moved not an inch. And finally, Napoleon, exasperated, said, "Son, didn't you hear me? I said, sound the retreat. Don't you realize that we've got soldiers that are bleeding and dying? And if we don't do something, we're going to lose the battle." And the little boy looked at Napoleon. He said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but I just don't know how to play retreat. I've forgotten the tune. I don't know how to play that retreat." And of course, Napoleon was just exasperated beyond measure. And he turned to the boy and he said, "Then play anything." And the little boy played the only thing he knew how to play, which was charge. Well, that caused the men of Napoleon to think, "Oh, we've got reinforcements coming." And so with a fervor, they attacked all the harder. And the other side, hearing the bugler play charge, thought they must have some help coming. And all of a sudden, they got scared. The end result was that the war was won, the battle was won, all because one little boy didn't know how to play retreat. You know, I thought about just how in the day and age in which we live, it seems like a lot of folks are wanting to play retreat. It seems like a lot of folks are wanting to quit and throw in the towel. And I want to just remind you, the reason that we don't want to do that is because, well, we win. Jesus wins. And we're on the winning side. Why play retreat? Why retreat when the battle has been won? And you know, when you stop and think about the Lord Jesus Christ, how many times did he indicate the need to keep on, to persevere? I think about that verse there in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. When the Savior said this, he spake a parable unto them, that is his disciples, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, he doesn't want us to quit. I think about even the very next chapter when he told a parable again. And within that parable, we have the words of a master to his servants where he said, occupy till I come. That word occupy is a banking term. It means to keep on being in business, to keep on operating, to keep on keeping on. And how important it is for you and I to hear that message, to occupy till he comes. Because there is coming a day when our Savior will return. And until that time, it's important that you and I not give up. I think about the famous man Elijah, what a great man that man was, but it was not easy. You know, Elijah was a man that conducted his ministry, much of his ministry he conducted thinking he was all alone. And for all practical purpose, he had good reason to think that. After all, he was living in solitude for 3.5 years. He was living by himself by the brook. For 3.5 years, he lived with the widow. And then finally, he comes out, and he's the only one coming out against the prophets of Baal. And so naturally, when he then faces, after the confrontation at Carmel, he faces the wrath of one Jezebel, he gets scared. When she threatens and says, I will do to you as you've done to my prophets by tomorrow. And he fled, the Bible says, he fled to Beersheba. He fled into the wilderness. He fled to Mount Horeb. And it's at Mount Horeb that Elijah, a scared, frightened individual, he requests, the Bible says, that he might die. He says, Lord, it's enough. I've done enough. He says, Lord, just take my life. It's interesting, by the way, that the Lord never even acknowledged his request to end his life. God just simply went right past that, and he went right past it, and eventually here, he gave him a new admonition. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. You see, there's always something in the will of God for us to do, and you and I must not play retreat. I'm talking here tonight to somebody that you might be discouraged. And you might be discouraged because you've had some problems in your marriage. I want to encourage you, don't play retreat. You know, it may be hard, by the way. You may be struggling, maybe even in trying to have a marital relationship and a good relationship. I want to encourage you to hang in there. Don't give up the fight. It's worth it, by the way, to keep on battling for your marriage. I would suggest it's worth it to keep on battling for your children. Some of you here tonight, it might be that your family is in disarray, and it might be that your family is struggling, and you might have problems with children, or might even be the kids have problems even with their parents. I want to encourage you, it's worth it. It's worth it to keep on being faithful even with your family. Think about Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How important it is we don't play retreat. Perhaps it's in the area of ministry. You know, can I just be honest and say, ministry can be tough nowadays. Now, there's many who would look and say, you know, it's not like it used to be. And it's not as maybe when I first started in the ministry. Times are difficult and people are difficult. And yet it's important. God did not call us just simply during the easy times. He called us at all times. Think about what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. He said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. It's important that you and I keep on going and keep on going and being faithful for Jesus Christ. You know, I think about that famous story about the old Scottish preacher that was working and he was serving and he was in his later years, and yet it seemed like he had a year that just didn't pan out very well. And one of the deacons came to him and said, preacher, I have to be honest and tell you, I'm a little bit disappointed. And the deacons are a little bit disappointed. I've got to just ask you, you know, is something wrong? Is your preaching wrong? Is your ministry wrong? Because we only saw one person saved this last year. And that one person is just a little boy, a little lad. And little Bobby was the only one recorded in the church roll. Well, a whole year of serving, a whole year of preaching, and only one little boy got saved. Well, that preacher got discouraged until finally little Bobby came up to him and encouraged his heart with this statement. He said, preacher, do you think that I could ever be a preacher like you? And suddenly that changed his thinking, and he began to devote himself to encourage that young man and to teach him, to train him. Well, that little boy grew up and became a famous missionary. His name is Robert Moffat. Robert Moffat was a missionary for 50 years to the continent of Africa. Between 1820 and 1870, he opened up the field of Africa. By the way, because he went, God used him to call another by the name of David Livingston. By the way, David Livingston married his daughter, Mary. They became quite a team, quite a connected ministry team in the continent of Africa. And I wonder how many thousands and thousands of people were saved because that preacher didn't quit. That preacher back in Scotland didn't quit. You know, it's important that you and I not give up, that you and I persevere, that you and I keep on keeping on. It's important that you and I understand that we need to occupy till he comes. You know, it's important the context that we consider even these verses here tonight. I chose from Hebrews chapter 10. They may seem like just simply some flyover country, but yet we realize that the whole purpose of the book of Hebrews is to go on. I happen to believe that Hebrews was written by Paul. The Apostle Paul, as he had a dedication to go on, and he's writing to those who are of the Hebrew origin, Christians, I believe, those who have accepted Christ as Savior, but there was a great temptation for them to go back into the Judaism, back into the laws, into the ceremonies, into the dead stuff, and there's a great temptation for them to go back. You find that Paul writes to them and says, no, just keep on going forward. Just keep on going forward. You know, it's interesting, about 60 years ago, there was a famous experiment. An experiment that was conducted at the University of California, Berkeley. And the experiment had to do with rats. Now, I will be honest and say I do not like rats. This experiment was to experiment with the perseverance of rats. They put these Norwegian rats in a pool of water. And they just simply encouraged them by putting them in the water to try and see how long they could last. And would you know it? The rats swam for 7 hours before they died. And so after they conducted that one experiment, they said, well, let's just change the details a little bit. And this time, the second time, they had some rats, same kind of rats, same situation, except for one thing. They put the rats in the pool of water, and then just before they seemed like they were running out of steam, they pulled the rats out for just a minute. And they rescued them for just a minute, then put them back in the pool of water. Did you know that with that one thing, that one incident that was introduced in the rats, that the rats continued to swim, and they swam for 20 hours. What's the difference? Introducing one concept, the concept of hope. Hope makes a big difference, doesn't it? Having hope introduced. Listen, I think about our world. Our world is really living without hope. That's the problem, by the way, of the perspective out there that you see on the media, the perspective that you see sometimes in social media, the perspective is one of lacking hope. I'm so glad that we have hope. We read, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul again writes and says that now abideth. And then he lists three things: faith, hope, and then charity or love. He says these three things abide, but the greatest of these is charity. It's interesting the interaction of these three words. First of all, faith. Faith is the heart's will. I trust that is powerful. But add to faith hope. Hope is an expectation. My heart expects. Now that is something more. But then if you add faith and hope and you add to it love. And by the way, if love has a lover, an object, a loved or a lover, then you have something altogether. The object of our faith is somebody who loves us and somebody that we love. Now, that makes all the difference in the world. A rat might swim and continue on because it might have hope, but we are greater than rats. We are human beings created in God's image, and we can have faith, we can have hope, and I'm so glad we've got somebody that we love who loves us. And that's what keeps us going. That's what ought to keep us going. We ought to keep on going because there's somebody, and somebody, as it even says there, and you find this actually in Hebrews chapter number 10. You got faith listed there in verse number 38. It's all about faith. Realize, by the way, that's why he even mentions the just shall live by faith. The entire next chapter is what we call the faith chapter, the hall of faith. Now, you've got hope within this chapter. You've also got love. Notice a person is introduced in verse 37. for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. You know, I'm so glad that Jesus is coming again. You know, as we oftentimes sing, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Boy, that would be okay with me if Jesus would come again. You know, following the attack on Pearl Harbor, December the 7th, 1941, in the attack, of course, the Japanese began to attack all sorts of holes that the Americans had interest in, several islands. Among them, they attacked the Philippine Islands. And it was there that the General Douglas MacArthur was holding the Philippine Islands as long as he could. There's very costly, and there was a place, in fact, called Bataan, which was literally called the Crimson Rock because of all of the gallons of bloodshed Americans shed on that place to just simply try and save the Philippines. But finally, MacArthur had to realize it was time to retreat. And so the great general had to leave the islands of the Philippines, but he promised. He said, "I will depart, but he said, I shall return." It was after he left that he left in charge of the Philippine Islands a man by the name of General Wainwright. General Wainwright was left in charge and I think valiantly fought as long as he could. But as soon as the Japanese attacked to the point where they no longer had food and supplies and it looked like the men were literally going to be overrun and all die in vain, that he surrendered the troops. He surrendered the troops. It is literally said it's the largest surrender of Americans at any given time. I believe 78,000 men that were surrendered on one day to the Japanese forces. Well, General Wainwright was then held in prison, in Japanese prison. He had to suffer alongside of all of the other. He was the highest ranking man in the armed services to serve in a prison of war camp. Days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months. For 3 long years, General Wainwright remained incarcerated. And then MacArthur returned to the Philippines. And then MacArthur overcame the Japanese. And then word came, it still took some time for the message to be relayed to all of the prison camps. And it was a colonel that was sent to be dispatched with a specific message to Wainwright. And he went to this Japanese camp at this time here in Manchuria. And the colonel went to General Wainwright to just simply deliver a message of hope, a message of perseverance, a message to keep on going. And the message was delivered to him in the prison camp, whereas it was said that up until this time, Wainwright was just about ready to give up. He had let himself go. He had stopped shaving for some time. He had stopped changing his clothes. He had stopped eating. He was now down to just a feeble image of a man. But when that colonel approached him and said, "By the way, I've been dispatched to just simply let you know that we've won." And then MacArthur said, "We're coming for you pretty soon. And pretty soon you're out of this camp. Pretty soon the battle's already been won. The war's already certain. We've already won. And all we want you to do is just hang on." With that news, General Wainwright went back and he shaved and he showered and he put on his dress uniform and he strutted around and he even told those Japanese guards, he said, "Listen, pretty soon here," he said, "I'm in charge of you. You're not in charge of me." He had a whole different attitude. And sure enough, he was freed. He was released. And he even was seen to then have that meeting, that embracing meeting in August of 1945, just a shell of a man. But General Wainwright was rescued. And then a few weeks later, Wainwright was invited aboard the USS Missouri, where on September the 2nd, 1945, he was able to see MacArthur. And he was able to witness firsthand the official surrender of the Japanese army. Now, what am I saying? What I'm saying here tonight is hang in there. The battle's already been won. The war's already won. Now, you and I, listen, we are called to just simply be faithful till he come. You see, when you introduce faith, and faith has hope, and hope has love, a loved object, and one who loves us back, then you and I can keep on swimming. You and I can keep on marching. You and I can keep on serving. You and I, some of you here tonight, listen, it's been a weary week, hasn't it? But it's been fun serving the Lord during Revival Week. I think about that oftentimes. You know, we sometimes, you know, have, you know, these different weeks of the year that may seem like they are a marathon. But listen, it's going to be worth it if you'll just keep on serving. Don't quit. The little boy, he was said, now, play retreat. I'm sorry, sir. I just don't know how to play retreat. Wouldn't it be great if God's people would not play retreat? Father, I pray that you'd help us here tonight to just be encouraged and encouraging each other to keep on serving. To be encouraged and encouraging each other to keep on doing what's right. In this day and age in which it seems like a lot are even fleeing and leaving and quitting, I heard even the testimony tonight from our missionaries how even in England, many churches are closing. That's not just simply true in England. That's true in America. There are many who are abandoning the cause. But Lord, help us not to do so. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Christians are praying. How about you tonight? Weary one, keep on going. Challenged one, don't quit. Discouraged one, take courage. Faith, hope, love. Now abideth these three. Oh, you introduce faith. And faith makes all the difference. The just shall live by faith. But faith that has hope and casting not away your confidence, your hope. And then you introduce love. And you know what? We have a Savior who loves us and a Savior that we love. And I trust here tonight that with those three things, you'll just simply say, you know what? I don't know how to play retreat. I've got to keep on going. I've got to keep on serving. I've got to hang in there for my marriage. I've got to hang in there for my children. I've got to hang in there for ministry. The cause is worth it. Sir, I just don't know how to play retreat. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come tonight.